morning. Happy Mother's Day. I'm field testing this tie so you can... I only wear a tie when I'm cold or feeling insecure. And if you're a guy wearing this tie, you're going to feel insecure. So Mother's Day became official in what year? 1914. President Wilson officially set aside the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day to honor mothers. Some wonder if President Wilson knew that the second Sunday in May would be the opening fishing day in Minnesota, but it's doubtful. It's special not because of a presidential decree, but because of God's design. And God has designed mothers. He invented motherhood, and today we honor our mothers. So let's pray together. Our Father, we bow before you and ask that you might minister to each one today, bring the gospel to bear in our lives. We're not in heaven yet, and we have many things in this world that go wrong just because it's a broken world. And many mothers here have felt the pain of that brokenness. So we pray that you might minister to each of us. Teach us from your word a little bit of come and guide us in that, because you want us to know about you and your heart for us. And today you're going to show us that a little bit through mothers. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We need the grace in our lives to deal with whatever our situation is. You might be grieving the loss of a child today. You might come from a family where you wish your mother had been a little different. You might be struggling to be a single mom. I worked for a year in Walmart to get some Social Security credits, and many, many of the employees were single moms who had been dumped, and they didn't have a skill set because they planned on being homemakers, and they were just trying to eke out a living. That could be you. You might be dealing with childlessness. Could be your first Mother's Day without your mother. It's hard. But God's grace is with us, and he wants us to sense his love and presence today. You know how much God loves you? More than you can possibly imagine. He wants us to get our lives and our hope and our direction from God, no matter what our circumstances are. When our kids are screaming out and throwing up and falling down in the mealtime, when carrot sticks become Trident missiles and peas are talking to potatoes for 30 minutes, never eating, and then for the next 3 hours, I'm hungry. God offers you his grace today. Now, this morning, we want to look at a sampling in Scripture. I don't know if you've ever done this, where we learn about the nature of God. And the Bible actually, to help us understand what God is like in some passages, uses a mom. Isn't that interesting? So here we go. The first attribute would be faithfulness. A mother shows us God's constant faithfulness to us. Faithful means remaining loyal and steadfast. And mothers are hardwired by this from God in amazing ways. There's a bond of commitment there that's between mother and child. Now, Deuteronomy 32, 11 through 12 says, like an eagle stirs up its nest that hovers over its young, he, God, spreads his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. So from egg to eaglet, to feeding, to learning to fly, the mother eagle is there, faithful to her young every day. In particular here, there's the imagery of a young eaglet learning to fly, flapping its wings. So what I've read is you take the eaglets, crawl up on your wings. First, they stir up the nest. So they build the nest, and there's sticks and thorns, and then they put all the fluffy stuff in. But when it's time to fly, they pull all the fluffy stuff out. So your little butts are like poking around. So they don't like that. So they crawl up in the eagle's wing, and then they go for a flight. And then the kids are dumped off. And they're flapping, 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 flapping. And the mother swoops down and catches them and carries them on her wings. Now, it's a little different than dad's. Dad's would be like, as the first one goes and is flapping, flapping down, it's like, see your brother? Flap harder. Let's go. Mother would never do that. The mother never gives up until her young eagles can fly. This faithfulness, it's a bond that we see between mother and child. It's innate. I worked at a delinquent boys' ranch in northern Minnesota for 4 summers. And so part of our job was to break up fights. And so I worked in this shop, and right outside was there where these guys would meet, and some of them smoked, and they would get on one another's nerves. And what I learned was they could share derogatory remarks about one another, and I could be in the shop working, everything's cool. As things heated up, they would take a shot at one another's dads. Okay, not so cool, but I could keep working. If one of them said something about another one's mother, instant fight. We had to go break it up. Now, why was that? I think it's this business here that we're talking about, of this faithfulness and this bond between mother and child. She is like God in that way. Psalm 36:5 says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness, Galatians 3:24, many of you know his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So it like reaches to the clouds, and it's like giganticus, it's really big. And then 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, always. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, always there, always loyal, always watching, always faithful. This is your God. So I share to you, it is God who has this bond with us. It's God who sees us falling. It's God who catches us and consoles us. When you see this in a mother, you know that this is God-like. Principle 2, so you have faithfulness, now undying love. A mother shows us God's undying love. So it was a dark time in Israel's history. Israel had just watched the northern kingdom be destroyed by Syria, and Israel is called to prophesy that because of their sins, God's people in the southern kingdom would be invaded as well. And the people became very discouraged. So the first 49 chapters in Isaiah tell us of God's holiness, his justice, and his punishment of sin to come. But he wrote in the last 27 chapters to tell us of God's grace, his salvation, and his undying love. And so we pick it up in Isaiah 49:14. But you said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Now, I just want to be very transparent with you. when we have trials and problems in life, we kind of go there. Like in our heart, we're like, well, I prayed, where are you now? You know, and we think the Lord has forsaken us. But the very next verse, God answers and says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? What do you think the answer to that is? Probably not. But the text says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. Wow. This is absolutely an amazing statement. A mother can't forget the baby that nursed at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born. It's unthinkable. But the Lord says, even if that was possible and happened, Israel's promise is that God's love far exceeds even that of an earthly mother. Given our fears, and we have those, our stresses, our trials, the great strains and temptations, even times when in our heart, you know, we're kind of like, you know, at God, it's like, he's like, I'm still with you. I've not forgiven you. I have forgiven you. I love you. Could a mother forget her child that she bore? I was in Marshall, I don't know, in 2001, when the world was shocked, and on national news, it was discovered that a young mother left the baby she had just born in the bathroom of a local grocery store in Marshall, Minnesota. Coroners determined that baby Marshall, as it was named, was born alive, abandoned. I helped organize the funeral for baby Marshall. There was a photo in the Independent of me kneeling over that grave and crying for that child. And as I knelt there, I could not help but think of this passage in the Holy Scriptures, that God's undying love will never abandon us, never. He's always there for you, even more than a mom's. I'm sure your heart was ripped when I told you that story, and you're like, a mother couldn't do that, and you wouldn't do that to your child. And yet, given the stresses that you and I face, there's times when we're tempted to doubt his love. You can put that to rest. The Bible promises us that God's unfailing love is there for you 24/7, thick and thin, no matter what you're going through, have gone through. So strong was that love that even in our sin, God sent Jesus Christ as our love gift to be born as a baby, to be abandoned on the cross so that you and I could become forgiven and become friends with God and have eternal life. What an amazing love story in the Bible. Now, you may be in a storm of life right now and you're asking, has God forsaken me? I want to just say that in the fight that you are facing, the challenges of parenting, the trials and tests with your spouse, the never-ending duties of mothering, the sickness of the child, even the death of a child, it can become very easy to really have the temptation to ask this question in Isaiah, has God forsaken me? And the answer is no, no, never. God will never forsake you. He loves you and he's with you. You see, in the midst of doubts and insecurities and temptations, that God is like you, moms. I mean, you maybe have gotten really ticked at times with your kid. Mine has. But never would she abandon me? Always faithful to you, always loving to you. God loves you like your undying love for your child. Number three, fierce protection. A mother shows us God's fierce protection that we all know about, especially if there's vulnerability with their children. They're there. Now, they're different than dads, okay? Have you seen the reel where the kid's about, you know, to stick a fork in the outlet, and mom's like, no, don't do that. And dad, like, puts his hand on the mom and goes, no, just wait a minute. And then there's this, like, and the dad goes, bet he won't do that again. We're just different. Hosea 13, verse 8. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs. Ah, you've heard of the saying, her mama bear came out. Go to Hosea. It's right there. Or consider 2 Kings 2:23. Now, Elijah had this wonderful memory of Jericho, but that was beginning to sour at Bethel. There was public insults against Elisha. In fact, commentators say his whole future as a voice for God was at stake right there. And so God had to act. He was being taunted. And people like me love this passage. You'll see why. He, Elisha, went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going on his way, some boys came out from the city and jeered at him and said, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of those boys apart. So when Hosea says, I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. Now, without studying the Hebrew, I'm just going to go on a limb and say, he's pretty ticked. He's pretty ticked when people are going after his kids. And you get the same way. And so there's this protective thing of God. And he's like, how can I communicate that to my people? How will they get it? So he's going to use a mom. He's like, that will do it. They'll get it then. So when Lisa was a baby, my wife's here, so I have to be careful with this story. You know how dads like to take kids, and you're like, whoop, whoop. And the moms are like, be careful. Like, don't do that. Yeah. Well, our basement, and right as a ceiling, and I was like, whoo, whoo, and I'm turning. And right back here in the middle of our house, there's a beam made out of a series of 2x12s that were sheetrocked, but because it's a 2x12, it's like 12 inches shorter, that part of the ceiling. So it was like, whoo-poom, whoo-poom, whoo-poosh. And suddenly the went to, Sandra's upstairs. What happened? Oh, nothing, everything's okay. I didn't want to feel the wrath of Mama Bear. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus laments wanting to protect his people. And he is going to show that by saying these words. As a hen, I long to gather you, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You see that? God is always watching. There is a fierceness in God that loves his children and wants to protect them. You are his children, and he, like a faithful mother, has this fierceness to protect you. Number four is comfort. A mother shows us God's comfort. It's a character that's revealing, and for him to get that to us, he uses a mom, Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. How should I compare my comfort? Let me think. Oh, a mom. A mom. Men and women are different here. They each have their own qualities. Child gets hurt. They want mom, not dad. Dad's like, you're fine. You're fine. Just get up. You're going to be okay. Don't be a baby. Stop crying. You want something to really cry about? Mom's like, oh, my little buddy, I'm sorry. Come to mama. Sometimes dads try that. It's kind of funny to watch. It's like the kids see it, you know, like for a second, they're like, kind of like, maybe dad. And then they're like, no, you don't really mean it. And then they go to mom. God knew this. When God's trying to communicate his incredible desire to comfort you, he uses a mom because moms are comforting. When I was a teenager, we were castrating pigs, and our job was to hold them, and my dad did all the work. Very sharp surgical knife. And we'd get this slop on our hands, and I was standing right next to him one day, and I put the pig down, and I went like this to clean my hands off. And I didn't feel a thing. And my dad took my hand and turned it up, and there's this gaping gash in my hand. Horrible sight. Critical situation. My dad's words, I think you better go see mom. I go to my mom. What happened to you? Oh, no. Let's clean it. Let's disinfect it. And it helped that she was a nurse. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Isaiah 49:13. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. So I want you to do something. You might need to write this down. This will be easier for the men than the women. But I want you to do this, okay? Don't be looking down like I'm not talking to you. I want you to think about your mother and how she's faithful, loving, protecting, and comforting. And whether she's still living or not, I want you to write a letter, which is your tribute to your mom. Now, if your mother's not died, often these words are shared at her funeral. You can do it now. If she's passed, write it and still read it. Ask the Lord to show you these characteristics. I got this idea, if you want to read it, Dennis Rainey from Family Life Ministry has actually written a book called The Tribute, What Every Parent Longs to Hear. And your mom longs to hear these words about her faithfulness, her love, her fierce protection, and amazing comfort. So, I decided to do this. So I'm going to read you my tribute, if you'll bear with me. you might get ideas. Dear Mom, I love you and I'm so thankful to have you as my mother. I want to honor you on this special Mother's Day. My early memories of your once teaching us to eat our food, clean our rooms, and be responsible. I remember you as a faithful, industrious woman. You worked hard in our garden and helped around the farm. I remember you driving the tractor on the baler. I remember you having us snap beans, shell peas, and shuck corn from our garden to harvest for food for now and for the winter. I loved your cream peas the most. I watched you work alongside your mother and your mother-in-law working hard to prepare these garden crops. You are a Proverbs 31 woman, rises while it's yet night and provides food for your household. This is you. Her hands are busy spinning threads. That was you mending our socks and putting patches on our jeans to extend their life. You provided meals for those extending a hand to the poor, those grieving, those working, special meals at church. Thank you for working so hard to faith others, but to help provide for four kids growing up. We never went without food or clothes. I'll always remember that Sunday night was popcorn night, and our job was to sit on the floor and shell the popcorn off the cobs into a Folgers coffee can. We would have popcorn every Sunday night. You are a faithful mother with godly values and standards. Thank you, Mom, for being faithful to God and to my dad for nearly 70 years together. You don't see that much these days. You're a great model of a faithful woman and a wife. I thank you for your faith in Jesus Christ when you placed your trust in Jesus at church camp one summer and for bringing the importance of faith into our lives. Thank you for bringing us to church and showing us the importance of worship and the Bible and prayer. No matter how tough things got, you always turned to the Lord for help. You also modeled community and the importance of God honoring friends. It was that environment at church where I came to faith in Jesus. Thank you for guiding my spirit in this way. Thank you for putting up with us and disciplining us when we went astray. You desired to protect us from sin, and so you disciplined us. It was you who caught us cracking the eggs so we wouldn't have to wash them. It was you who collared us, having destroyed grandparents' antique wicker chairs and made us pay retribution with our allowance, which seemed like an eternity. It was you who disciplined me for ramming the hog syringe up my brother's butt when he made me mad. You know, forgive me, but I still kind of feel good about doing that. You taught me about the awful nature of swearing by washing our mouths out with soap. You would hook the bar under our front teeth and pull it, leaving us spitting soap for a long time. Thank you for being Mama Bear when I got left at Beaver Park swimming lessons. You've already heard that story. I'm not sure what you said to the bus driver, but she made sure I was on the bus every lesson after that. Your loving compassion was seen when you were patient and loving with me. When I randomly brought Tommy Brown home from school to live with us, you called his mother and tried to smooth things over, saying he could stay the night. You made us clean our rooms and do our chores, all of which taught us responsibility and a good work ethic. Thank you for raising us right. I do want to mention that your decision to mix our milk with powdered milk to save money on the budget was maybe good for the big budget, but we hated the taste of that stuff, and I still can't smell that awful stuff to this day. Thank you for persevering with me as I learned to drive, giving you many gray hairs. Thank you for showing up at a wrestling match as you endured watching me get trounced. Thank you for your affirmation with my participation when Samson, Peter, and Forecalf got last place. And when my one financial FFA venture, where I was keeping track of records and my earnings on my one sow that randomly died from an infection. These might be reasons why I went into the ministry. I never thought of that. But thank you for being there when my knee was dislocated at a district wrestling match, and I learned I had a bone disease and needed immediate surgery and would never wrestle again. You were there. Thank you. Thank you for not disowning me when I naively bought you a pink nightgown for Christmas one year. Thank you for your many encouragements to help me persevere during tough times. Your compassion for me never failed. Thank you for the optimism and hope that you injected into our family over and over again. And I think your presence in our life was the glue that held us together through some of the most difficult chapters that we walked through together. Thank you for the humor, lightheartedness, and passion for life that I got from you, Mom. Thank you for your encouragement in my life as I was called away from shepherding pigs to shepherding people. Thank you for your encouragement through some 10 years of post-high school education and congratulated me on finally getting a real job when I went to Marshall to pastor. I not only felt your encouragement from you, but your mother as well. Thank you for accepting Sandy as your own, and loving her and our children with your selfless love, always giving, always encouraging, always loving. Thank you for loving each and every one. I just want to say how grateful I am to have you as my mother. And if I had to do it all over again, I would pick you. Be my mom. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Do this assignment. It's good for your soul. Do it soon. I want to declare to you, moms, that you are amazing. God picked you to teach us about faithfulness, undying love, fierce protection, and his comforting spirit. And I pray that you feel honored today and that you know that God has promised to be faithful to you and that he gives you his undying love and he is watching over you with his fierce protection and he's always there to comfort and console you. You are amazing. Gracious God, thank you for this day that we have set aside to honor our mothers. And I pray that you would help us flood our minds with some good memories that we can speak to them, write to them, encourage them. I thank you that the God of the universe can only not only created motherhood in the heart of moms. Thank you for that. I pray, Lord Jesus, you have come to forgive us and to cleanse us. May this be a moment where moms can just shed a lot of things and let the gospel of Jesus love on them. He's with you. He's going to be faithful to you. You can let stuff go. You can forgive yourself. You can forgive others. Let the grace of Jesus Christ help you sense his loving presence, knowing that he's going to watch over you, protect you, and he'll comfort you. And I know that many of you need his comfort today, and he's there. Let it in. He's here in this place. Let him minister to you now. We love you. Strengthen us as we worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen.